Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hang on to your balls. It's time for the Horror Hangout Podcast.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout, a podcast where two bearded film fans watch the 50 best horror movies ever and then talk about them. My name is Luke Condor, and that's for the K. And today, for the first time in ever, I'm joined by the co-host, Mr.
Ben Errington. I'm glad to be here, Luke Condor, with a K.
I'm glad for you to be here as well.
Finally.
After all these episodes on my own talking to myself, you finally... finally turned up.
Imagine that. Imagine you had a crisis of confidence. You look back at all the episodes. You look back on YouTube at the videos, and it was just you talking to yourself.
Yeah, because the first one you go back and you just hear yourself and you go, oh, this is just a mistake, some weird digital, and then you'll start to like panic, and you'll go back through all of them, and you realize, oh my god, I've been doing both voices.
Podcast man.
The podcast was coming from inside the house.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Okay, so what we do in this podcast, if you didn't know, we spoil the films for everyone. We dissect them to the point where you don't really want to watch it.
So, yeah. We spoil the films, but we also never ever say, we never warn people we're going to spoil them. So
yeah,
spoilers today for this film.
Yeah.
This film.
Yeah.
We do that. We just go spoil it. Yeah, we dissect it to the point where I don't think you don't need to watch it, and me and Luke never want to watch it again.
Yeah. I mean, I'd recommend watching this film before you listen to these episodes. I think it adds, it's like a nice compliment. It's like ketchup and mayo with your chips.
It's a dessert. I feel like it's a dessert. The film's the main course, and then you come with us and you have a lovely bit of gatto.
Sorbet.
Sorbet and gatto.
Yeah.
So like a cleanser of the palate and then a nice chocolatey treat.
Yeah. A bit of something to put you in a coma.
Yes.
Okay. So other horror stuff, dude. Have you been watching, reading, doing other horror stuff? Have you been killing people? What have you been up to?
I ain't killed anyone in a while. A year or so. Good. When you're straight. When you're clean. I did manage to see The Ritual the weekend just gone, which is made by the Andy Serkis. He gets a big mention on this podcast.
Yeah.
Andy Serkis production company, Imaginarium, isn't it?
Yeah, we should know. Yeah,
we're doing some bits and bobs. But yeah, The Ritual stars, is got that rave spot. I think we mentioned it last week, didn't we?
Yeah, we talked about him and his pup.
Yeah. So it's like, on the surface, it's like a standard Lost in the Woods sort of jaunt, but it's got like black comedy elements. Feels a bit like an Edgar Wright film. Occasionally, not like, it's more bantery rather than genuinely funny.
Like Severance. That makes sense.
Like Severance, a bit like that. Yeah. But it kind of felt like it was cliche, but rather than sort of feeling like we've seen it all before. Oh god, it kind of like took the cliches, but like elaborated on them enough to make it feel kind of fresh. And
it's based on a book.
It's based on a novel. Yeah, it's based on a novel, but the name of the writer escapes me, but it's a fairly recent book, I believe.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was great, and sort of I've read a lot of reviews and a lot of people saying the third act kind of spoils the film, but for me, I felt that the third act was great. I mean, it's very unique in terms of the direction it goes in. Despite the fact the trailer doesn't look unique at all. You know, they're lost in the woods.
Yeah.
They go into like a cabin. There's creepy goings on, creepy
cabin
signs.
Cabin in the woods story. Yeah, classic.
Cabin in the woods story, yeah. But I felt like the atmosphere was fantastic. You know, I did constantly feel like, what the hell's going to happen? And like the soundtrack was quite muted and not too over the top and not too many like blah moments.
Ooh. Oh, Christ.
But I really liked it. It's definitely worth checking out.
So I wasn't that interested until just now. I think I might have to actually give it a go. So other horror.
Sorry. Okay. I mean, obviously, I know you're a big fan of like Lovecraft.
Yeah.
There is some Lovecraft stuff in it.
Really?
A bit. Yeah. But it also borrows from different. This isn't going to ruin it. It borrows from different mythos, and in places it felt quite. Yeah, that's what I'm going to say.
Interesting. I will check it
there
out.
There we go.
At
there
the cinema.
No spoilers. If you watch it at the cinema, we could possibly do an episode on it. This is me asking you now if you'd like to do it. This is an indecent proposal.
Yes, I will accept your indecent proposal. I'll watch it. It'll have to be next week or so. I'm not too sure. I've just finished reading Uzumaki.
Oh, yes.
Wait, have you read any Junji Ito books before?
Unfortunately not, but I'm familiar based on what you've told me.
It's so good. It's like so kind of absurd, I guess is the way to describe it. But like, so Uzumaki is a story about a town that gets infected by the shape of a spiral. And it's 19 different chapters, 19 different, basically 19 short stories. They do come to a big sort of story arc at the end. But all like just taking that idea of what would it mean to be infected by a shape, by a spiral, and just doing really absurd but amazing things. Like one guy, the first story is about the main girl's boyfriend's dad getting obsessed with spirals, starts collecting spiral shapes, and then realizes he can turn his body, he can bring the spiral out of his own body, and starts like contorting himself to be turned into a spiral. He ends up killing himself by contorting himself into like a full-on spiral.
He's such a big spiral fanboy.
Yeah.
That he just becomes.
But like some of the illustrations are so gross, but like so well realized.
Can you show me one?
No. Yeah. Let's see. It is in black and white, so I don't know how well it would come across.
I am enjoying your Super Meat Boy T-shirt as well.
Oh, thank you very much, sir.
Oh yes.
Okay.
Delightful. Yeah. So obviously, audio listeners, sorry. I will describe it the best way we can.
Okay, so here's an image of when the dad realizes he can turn it like spiral with his tongue. I don't know if you can see.
Oh, yeah. So gruesome looking long serpent like tongue coming out of a man's mouth. Yeah.
And it just
is it entirely comic book? Yeah.
Yes, it's all. It's not prose or anything. It's quite it's a big prose. Book as well. Oh, it's like 600 pages. Yeah. But yeah, so it gets weirder and weirder and grosser, and then at the end, it's just like I don't even know. It's kind of Lovecraftian actually, like the whole like unfathomable kind of horror that kind of melts your brain a bit. But yeah, it's good. I would totally recommend it.
You wouldn't recommend getting infected by a spiral?
No, I'd recommend that as well. Actually, yeah.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay. Very
it's
nice.
It's a good for
lovely.
Okay. So,
I did also see. Sorry, I've interrupted you twice now, Luke. I'm not going to make a habit of that.
Yeah.
You like it? You like my new found not giving a fuck attitude? Shut up, Luke. For God's sake. I did see the first episode of Channel Zero as well. Again, on your recommendation.
Season one.
Yep. Okay. Season one of Channel Zero. So I've only seen one episode so far, so I need to kind of watch the rest of season one. But yeah, good. Yeah. Creepy.
I think I'm actually more a bigger fan of season two now, but it's like a different story. But season one is still great.
So it's like an anthology series, but where the series
six episodes. So you just kind of fly through and it's like a contained story.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's really good. Super creeps me out, some of the stuff they're doing it. Okay, so let's get on with the actual film of the week.
Let's bloody get on with it, mate.
We're on number 23 of the list. We are talking about Suspiria. Do you want to tell us a bit about it?
No. Why the devil not? Suspiria. Yeah. Do you know Suspiria is Latin for size? Size as in...
To sigh, yeah.
To sigh. Not as in the size of your... okay, Suspiria is a 1977 Italian horror film directed by Dario Argento, starring Jessica Harper as an American ballet student who transfers to a prestigious dance academy in Germany, but later realizes that the academy is a front for something far more sinister and supernatural amidst a series of murders.
Nice. This is what the Empire Film Brigade have to say about it. Nobody makes horrors quite like Dario Argento. With Suspiria, the Italian genio set the video nasties era of censorship and moral panic ablaze and set the template for his Three Mothers trilogy. All his hallmarks are there. Dark supernatural elements at play. Bravura camera acrobatics. Bloody extreme violence. Themes of obsession and sexual aberration. And a vibrant hyperreal technicolor palette. Think The Umbrellas of Schubert, but with witch demons instead of umbrellas. It's got 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.5 on IMDb. On the Facebook group, Paul Tomlinson says, spooky soundtrack. Johann Chipol says, the fundamental film of abstract horror lighting. And John Lees, the comic book creator behind Sync, which is really good. I definitely recommend that for horror fans.
Yeah.
Suspiria is a masterclass of aesthetic, and it has maybe my favorite theme in all horror. One of my favorite cinema experiences was seeing Suspiria screened in a theater with Goblin playing the soundtrack live. Yeah, so people obviously like this one. What are your initial findings?
I wasn't sure what to make initially. I think for maybe like the first 30 minutes, I was thinking, because I've never seen this before. Another sort of classic film that I've not seen, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the first 30 minutes, I was a bit unsure. I wasn't entirely sure what to make of it. Obviously, color palette wise, it's unbelievable. Music wise, it's unbelievable. It's just so, it's like abrasive, but like in a way that's like quite endearing. So like you see it, you hear it, you're a bit like, oh God, Jesus. But you kind of want to keep watching.
Yeah.
But yeah, video nasty, definitely incredibly gory, sort of ridiculous in places.
Yeah.
After I sort of came out of it, I did kind of think, I don't think I really like that, but.
Yeah,
but you know, but it definitely stuck with me for like a little while. I mean, I only saw it last night, but it kind of stuck with me. Like I was thinking about it a lot, and then that kind of made me want to know more about it. You know, I want to know more about the themes and everything. What kind of I perceived about the film, whether that was actually intended.
Yeah,
and yeah, I think it's. I think it is a masterclass, really, isn't it? I mean,
this is like a whole. New type of horror film that I didn't know existed until I watched it. Like, yeah. It's.
Had you seen this before?
No, I've been really excited to watch it. I feel like I did build it up in my head quite a bit because I knew people had talked about it. I kind of was really super excited to watch it. And it's a weird nightmare logic audio, like crazy loud, crazy audio, evil didgeridoo. Yeah. Sort of
exactly. I was wondering if the levels on my TV or something had gone nuts, because sometimes the dialogue was really quiet and muted, and then suddenly this music was just like, oh my God, Jesus, turn it down.
Yeah,
it's terrifying me. But obviously that was intentional, because it was. I mean, it is unnerving.
Yeah, I actually feel like I kind of want to watch this again. And normally after I watch a horror film, I don't have to watch it again for a long time. But this is a film I watched, and I thought I would like to watch it again. Pretty soon, actually. I don't know. I felt like there was something I really liked about it. And I really liked this sort of evil Wes Anderson thing. Because, like, you know, like the whole geometric shapes and the colours and the colour palette was all, like, very considered. Mm-hmm. And
oh, yeah. And, I mean, the lighting. I mean, what was the budget on the lighting here? Because it seemed like in the most basic scenario, like, oh, everyone's going to bed now.
And it feels these like...
unbelievable reds and greens and blues, and it's just... My God! Imagine living in this place, and it was lit like that. You'd be like, Jesus, just put a.
There's loads of weird things that sort of made it not a real film. Not like it doesn't place it in reality. There were scenes in the daytime, especially, that did feel kind of like real. But then as soon as the things got a bit weird, the music came on, and it was like mind bending.
Anything that happened within that dance academy was like mind bending and.
Yeah.
bizarre, and it's nightmarish, and it just didn't feel. I kept thinking, where's this going? And rather than sort of come into at any point in any scene, rather than come into any logical conclusion, it just kept sort of going. It was like picking a scab. Like the act of watching this was like picking a scab. You were just like, I wonder what's next? Where am I going? It's kind of, you kind of like go down the rabbit hole with it as such.
I definitely feel like it's got like a bit, I mean, I'm guessing Nicholas Winding Refn is a big fan of Dario Argento.
Oh yeah, I didn't even think of that, but yes.
When you think about the way he uses lighting and the music as well, in a way.
Only God Forgives, like especially music and lighting, is so similar to this. Now you say it,
yeah.
Because the music is abrasive, the music is intense, and sort of it panics you. You're just like Jesus, and the lighting obviously as well.
Yeah, So we'll talk about it a bit more, but that opening scene, which she gets when she lands in the plane, it's like raining and she's like in a foreign country and the music is like blaring. It's like a panic attack and the film's not really even got to any surreal evil moments yet. Like even before anything bad happens, like I'm like, oh my God, my heart's like racing.
It's like that, but then maybe that represents, you know, she's come from America, she's in a strange country, she's just arrived.
Yeah.
That kind of aids that feeling of panic.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, nobody in this film acts like an actual human being. There's just so many, like, the way everyone acts and reacts to everything is like, not in a stupid way, not in like a stupid way or like a laughable way, but just in a really weird way that does make you feel like, what's going on? What do these guys want?
Yeah. Okay, cool. So should we jump into the story itself?
Yes.
So we've got the key players. Jessica Harper plays Susie Banyan, who's a ballet dancer from America. She's transferred to Germany to this crazy ballet school. There is quite a big list of other actors and actresses. And I, to be honest, was getting quite confused as to who, in terms of the teachers and the directress and the vice directress, I was getting a little bit confused as to who was referring to who on that bit.
Also, sort of the other students is a bit confusing because everyone's got big hair. All the blokes are kind of like, you know, there's one bloke with an airy chest and another bloke with a not airy chest, and that's the only way I could tell them apart.
Yeah. So I guess if we just say Jessica Harper is like the main character we see a lot of the story through, we'll explore the characters we go through. But it's nice to see Udo Kier, who was in another film I saw recently. He had
quite a small part. I recognised him. What have I seen him in?
I don't know,
I'm asking you.
Yeah. He was in Brawl in Cyborg 99. That I saw recently. But if you look at him now, you would completely recognise him from various films.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Like, he plays a vampire like at least twice a week.
there's something about his eyes. He's got terrifying I've seen everything eyes. I've seen many dimensions.
Exactly.
I've seen every dimension.
All of them.
Yeah, he kind of just turned up, and then he had a tag team of another guy.
Yeah,
he
exactly. Tagged, yeah,
tagged him in.
But we'll get to that bit. But okay, so dude, so we click play, and the film starts, and we open with the most panicky start to any film I've ever seen, where she lands in the plane. She's not driving the plane; she just gets off it, and then she gets in a taxi. It's raining. The music here was insane because the music, it's by a band called Goblin. I'll be honest, I've not really listened to them that much, but I think I will do now, like check a bit more of their stuff out.
It's like sort of prog rock, synthy, electronic soundscapes.
It's got some weird, like, didgeridoo, sort of noise. And it's got these, like, weird, Dolby Digital Surround. You know, before
just sample that. Who needs Goblin? We just gonna need you. And if you're gonna soundtrack anything,
yeah. You know, before the film starts at the cinema, you have the Dolby Digital thing.
Yep.
And all the ball bearings fall into the hole.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, the famous ball bearings in a hole bit. That's my favorite bit. That's my favorite bit of any film screening.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's in surround sound. Okay. Yeah. So the music. So it does this weird thing where. And this adds to the nightmare logic. It's diegetic and it's not diegetic. So diegetic means music that's played by a band or a radio inside the film. So the music's playing loud, and then the doors to the airport close, and then you don't hear it for some reason. and it opens and you hear it again. So it makes it sound like the music's coming from outside. But that doesn't make any sense. Like, there's a lot of, like, the music does this a couple of times. And I don't know, like, it's a weird creative choice.
Maybe that's just the way Germany is, mate. You ever been to Germany?
It just plays prog rock, like, outdoors constantly.
Constantly. Maybe, get off the plane. Yeah. Get off the plane, it's just prog rock
it's
everywhere.
It's a guy busking on the corner. Yeah. Actually, that is like going down Manchester on a Saturday afternoon. Someone's on a beatbox making strange noises. Okay, so... where we go? Okay, so she gets a taxi through the rain. She goes to the school, and the school, like I said, it's like an evil Wes Anderson looking ice cream flavored school.
Like, ice cream flavored, but what flavor of ice cream?
Cherry.
Raspberry Ripple.
Yeah, okay, that's better.
Cherry, raspberry ripple, and mint chocolate chip.
As she gets there, there's like a girl. She's like leaving, she's storming out, she says something about she's seen some irises and some doors, she's seen something ominous anyway.
She's shouting something, and it's almost like Susie, that's the actress's name. Susie's like reading her lips at some point and going, what's she saying? Something about irises and doors and bits and bobs.
It's an interesting character trait that we didn't know about before. She can read lips.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like later on in the film, like it zooms right into the lips as if like Susie is able to, she's got telescopic eyes. Yeah. So this girl's obviously like panicked. Susie gets out to go in, but they say we weren't expecting you for some reason. That bit's not really explained.
Yeah.
And doesn't really add anything to the film.
She's just like in the pouring rain and she's just like, can you let me in? They're like, no, go away.
What do you do in that situation? Like, you've just flown to Germany trying to get into school and they say, no, we never heard of you.
Kick the door in.
Yeah, exactly.
Make a good impression, eh? I'll make a good impression. Get the bloody door in. Start taking some names. Dishing out headbutts left, right, and centre.
Yeah. Just needs to make an impact. So I guess she drives off somewhere. Where does she stay?
I don't know. This bit confused me a bit because this girl was running away and suddenly this girl's back inside.
Yeah.
What was going on?
Well, it was confusing because the girl is running away. Left one ice cream flavored house to find another ice cream flavored house that was even more geometrically like perfect and angular.
Oh, right. Okay. One was a bit like a boarding school type area, wasn't it?
One was a flat, like an apartment building that a friend lived at.
It was a bit confusing. At this stage, it needed to be simple. I didn't want to know the whereabouts of all these buildings and who was on what floor. I was baffled.
It was baffling. But
it's enough to take in based on how the bloody place looks.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. I was only halfway down the screen by the time it changed. Oh, fuck. Yeah, okay, so then this girl, let's just call her Patrick.
I think her name's Pat. So we'll call her... Did you just call her Patrick? I didn't even know. Subliminal.
Yeah. I think I'm going to say Pat, yeah.
It's Pat Butcher.
So Pat Butcher, yeah. She goes to stay at a friend's house. A friend's like, chill out, man. Chill out, Pat Butcher. You've got to calm your tits.
And then they're flailing around all over the place.
Very cold. And then she was like, you don't understand, man, you weren't there. And then she leaves, and then this woman, Patrick, looks out the window, and then she gets...
She tries to use a lamp to look out of a window at night, but that never works. That just lights up the window, so you can see her reflection.
Yeah, you've got to turn it off.
It's nuts. She sees like a pair of like green eyes, doesn't she? Just floating about.
And then
a hairy, horrible arm comes through the window and grabs her and just presses her face against the glass. In a very comical way.
It's the kind of like face you put like when you're trying to do like a funny face for your friends on the other side of the window.
Yeah, when you're on the bus. When you're on the bus. Bloody hell, look at this. That's what it does. And then her friend tries to come into the room through like about nine doors. It's like she's banging on one door and then she goes on through that one now. That's another one. How many doors? Why'd she lock so many doors behind her? Jesus.
Yeah, why do you lock it?
So basically this hairy arm thing, whatever it is, hairy arm killer.
Yellow. It's like a yellow hairy arm.
Yellow hairy arms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kills Pat, stabs the living bejesus out of her.
The only thing the stabs felt kind of real. Something about that knife.
Because they seemed so like, I don't know, they did seem real. There was no sort of fluff about it, was it? There wasn't any like effect. It didn't cut away.
It just showed. It went. The arm went in, stabbed her, and then like the blood, waited a bit, and she was like, "Oh, Jesus." And then about 10 seconds later, the arm came back in and stabbed her again.
The only thing was the blood looked a tad like just red paint, didn't it?
Yeah. I didn't mind it. But then maybe
that was kind of like part of it.
Yeah, I just felt like it was part of the style.
Yeah, it was kind of like this neon ridiculous thing. So yeah, and then whoever killed Pat wraps, what, like a cord around her neck?
Well, that's the idea. So you wrap this, like, this arm wraps this cable around the neck or whatever. But to me, it just looked like she was like pressing the cable against it.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't doing any wrapping at all. It was just like pushing it. And it eventually found its way around the neck. This is the most ludicrous thing. Like, why was the killer making such a drama of it? Do you know what I mean? Like, she ties the thing around the neck, pushes her on top of this glass, candy-colored glass ceiling
thing. Yeah, sort of like a skylight type thing.
Yeah.
And then smashes it.
Yeah. And then she sort of... That's pretty brutal. I mean, it was pretty fun to watch. I imagine the cinema audience at the time were, like, cheering. But...
Whee!
So she's dead. Like, she's out for the count. And then a bit of glass also lands into her mate.
Yeah, a bit of glass and, like, some big clock. What am I thinking?
Yeah, it was a bit of frame, I think, on the glass, right?
Oh, right. It was a bit of that, was it? It looked like it kind of landed. Yeah, so it landed, and a bit landed in her head. I mean, the makeup looked... I mean, you can imagine, obviously, yeah, back in the day, that probably looked pretty gruesome. But the makeup looked a bit... I mean, sure, the makeup was great, but it did look a bit like something... your mum knocks up for you on Halloween. Or it's going to put a big scar down your face. Oh, mum!
Yeah.
I don't want it.
I want to be the yellow arm from Suspiria.
Yeah. Hairy yellow arm.
Yeah. Just with your fingers coming out your head.
Those two are dead, but like the academy, the dance academy, react in the most bizarre, like, oh, some people got bloody murdered last night. How strange.
Yeah, they do. They're like, oh, how weird.
That's weird, isn't it? Like weird, like they just heard some noises at night or something. Yeah. Two people got bloody murdered last night. That's a bit unfortunate for us, isn't it?
Oh. So someone's saying, I had a bad dream last night. Oh dear.
Oh no, they're dead. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that pretty much happens. Then we're introduced to kind of like the head honchos of the dance academy. There's like Madame Blanc, who's like the Madame.
Susie's allowed in this time.
You know, she's done her time.
Yeah.
She got stitched up the night before. Now she's allowed. And there's a Miss Tanner as well. She's like one of the instructors who's a bit like Miss Trunchbull from Matilda.
Yeah. Yeah, she is. Yep. Forces people into the choker.
Yeah, and then there's a few other like sort of teachers and women and stuff, and
lots of girls.
Yeah, and then she goes and meets all the girls who are sort of like studying there as well, or dancing there.
Yeah,
and they seem like a lovely bunch, although they do kind of wind her up a little bit, don't they?
Lots of them ballet dancers.
Lots of ballets. I love a bit of ballets.
Yeah. And then so she goes for as she's about to go to a lesson. There's another odd person who lives in this, you see her in a corridor. I don't know what she's described as, the custodian or something. She's a big woman. She's got a son.
She's got a son who looks like a right square. She's got a son who's dressed like a little choir boy. Isn't she holding like some sort of like pyramid unicorn horn?
Yeah.
Which for some reason she's like holding it, and then it just shines a beam of light directly into Susie's eyes. Yeah. And it gives her a proper bad migraine.
Yeah. So she's got this migraine, and she goes to the first ballet class of the day, and Mrs. what's her name? Trunchbull. Trunchbull says, come on, do a dance for us. And then
show me what you can do. So show us what you break dancing.
Show us what you've got. And then she does it. Yeah. And then she brings her own boombox. Pops it on, and then
puts a bit of cardboard down on the floor in the middle.
It's raining, man. Hallelujah. And then, so what happens? Yeah, so she faints.
Yeah. She tries, to be fair, she doesn't faint immediately. She tries to dance a little bit.
Is that what ballet is when they're, you know, when they're sort of going back and forth and they're just flailing their arms?
Also, she was clearly like under some form of duress. Why did the teacher not go, all right, fair enough. Right. Have a sit down.
Have a Lucozade.
She needed a Lucozade. That's what she needed.
She needed some electrolytes.
She should have just gone, oh, the woman had the unicorn horn and it gave me a migraine. She would have understood.
She did it again, did she? Unicorn hound woman.
Yeah. With her little square of a son, little choir yeah. boy boy.
Yeah. I'm going to get a dog to bite him. And so she faints. And then, at this point, she was saying she wants to live with this other girl that she met in the toilets, in the changing room, who, Susie, who, what's her name? No. What's the other one called? Oh, Sarah. There's another girl. She's like quite friendly.
The other one with lovely, lovely thick curls.
Yeah, Sarah. Yeah. So Sarah. She wants to live with Sarah, but the madame was like, no, you've booked a room inside. You should be staying inside inside the ballet school. And then after she faints, she wakes up in the bed and they've moved her inside anyway, like against her wishes.
She seems right with it, doesn't she?
Yeah, when she moved in, it's like, oh, I'm not moving again. Like... I'm here.
I'm not moving again. Come on. I've got all my stuff. I've got all my pants and socks out.
I'm here now. Yeah, in my plimsolls.
And there's a doctor who's like says that she needs to be medicated with like a glass of wine daily. Doesn't someone say it's good for your blood? It'll thicken up your blood.
Yeah, wine. Have a look. And they say some other food as well, but you don't really see what the food is. It doesn't look like food, though. Don't know what it is. But that wine looks like box wine to me. It didn't look good quality wine.
It looks like homemade wine. Someone stomped the grapes themselves with their feet downstairs. There's
a couple of toenails in there.
And brought it out.
Probably from that little square schoolboy.
Yeah, with his little bow haircut. Who's he think he is?
Pink ankles.
What's he doing in a ballet school? Get out there on your bike, mate.
Pervert. I bet he's right, peeping Tom.
Ooh.
So where are we now? So she wakes up. Oh, yeah, so we're at the maggots bit. So they're getting ready for lunch. Sarah pops around, and then, maggots start falling out.
It's clear that Susie and Sarah have got they're a bit chummy at this point, so they're becoming friends. They can confide in each other for certain things. But, yeah, they're getting ready for dinner, and then suddenly Susie's doing her hair. She's combing her long, lustrous locks. That was difficult.
Yeah.
She finds a maggot in the comb, which is terrifying for you. If that
one maggot's fine, I don't mind a single maggot.
A single maggot in the comb. You give me three maggots in the comb, I'll be terrified. So maggots start basically raining down from the ceiling, all at exactly the same time in every single room where all the girls are staying.
Yeah, and the music starts as well.
Yeah, this music was weird. The maggot rain theme.
Yeah, pretty much every time something like creepy happened, the music went from like 0 to 100. It's just like straight on.
And it's just like an event, like maggots raining from the ceiling. That if that happened in any other film, you might be like, oh, this is weird. It happens in this, and the music that accompanies it, you're like, what's going on? Why are there maggots running from the ceiling? I mean, it is effective in that way.
And does it even like explain it? So he says something about they had some food in the attic.
Yeah, so they do go up to the attic and they find like a box where there's like some spoiled food and like absolutely loads of maggots in there.
I don't know if that washes with me. I don't know if I would like the maggots are like all over the ceiling in all of the floors. Like how much food? That's a lot, isn't it?
I don't really get it. I didn't understand the purpose of this. But the purpose of this was obviously to. For some reason, they all sleep downstairs in like the same hall with all the beds lined up and a sheet to separate the boys and girls, I'm assuming.
Oh, is that what that was for? So I was going to ask you, what was the sheet for? Because I thought
there was a guy who's like into Susie, the guy without the hairy chest.
Yeah.
There's two of them, one with a hairy chest and one without a hairy chest.
Yeah.
Non-hairy chest guy does a really weird, creepy thing.
He's
looking over the sheet at them, and then he goes down from the sheet really slowly and leaves his hand out like, hello?
Jesus Christ.
Cooey! It's creepy. And she kind of like, she finds it a bit like, oh, yeah. Are you into it, boy?
Because I thought, like, they just put them up to put, like, cast shadows. That's like, for the film, like, the creepiness.
Yeah, because, but obviously...
There's, like, lights blaring as well to sort of add to the shadows. It's weird.
Turn the main lights off. Turn a big light off. They turn a big light off, and suddenly these horrible red lights come on, and all these shadows from the sides of I'd be like,
someone
turn
developing
the red lights off.
Film.
Someone developing film. Someone taking photos. Yeah, and then there's a strange bit.
On the other
side
of the room, there's that guy from The Omen, like, oh, sorry.
Sorry, just doing my film.
Yeah.
His head's coming off soon. And then there's a weird bit where they kind of like listen to someone who's snoring on the other side of the sheet. And I can't remember who they said it was. And they
so say she it said was... it, Sarah said it's the, I think she said the directress or like someone, like the head of the school that we haven't seen until now. She says she tells like a story. It's quite a long story, but basically I think she's heard the snoring before and it was related to the directress, the head of the school, but I don't think she's ever seen it. She's not supposed to be at the school. So yeah. She's there, but she's not supposed to be there. And then... Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I thought at this point that one of them would just put their head under the sheet to see if it was her.
Yeah. No, it's better just to get a little bit worried about it and just let it simmer. Like, could the curtain's literally just behind them. They could have just gone, no, it's not.
Oh, it's not her after all. It's just some other person with a whistly nose snore.
Yeah.
what a weird way to identify someone as well, isn't it?
By their sleep apnea.
Yeah. Well, can you describe this person in any way? Well, I don't know if I could describe her, but she got a very wishly snore.
Yeah.
All right, we'll just wait for them to be asleep, and then yeah.
Yeah. If you had like a CPAP machine to like help her breathe properly in her sleep,
yeah,
then you'd recognize it. You'd be like, you're just like a, you'd be like, oh, that's what's her name, CPAP machine.
CPAP machine.
Okay, so next we have like a little side story that I don't think adds to anything other than to have a bit of extra film. It's called Daniel Quits the Band. And it's Daniel, who's this blind piano player who has a dog. Apparently.
So he's turned up a few times. He's been playing the piano while they're all dancing.
Yeah.
He seems like a nice man.
Yeah. Lovely. Lovely Daniel. So he turns up to school. We find out his guide dog is, they call it a wolfhound. I don't know if that's a wolfhound. It's like an Alsatian or something like that.
Yeah.
Some sort of cross, maybe. I don't know. But then Peeping Tom apparently gets bitten by this dog. Daniel's like, no, that doesn't sound like my dog. It's not something he'd do. But then Mrs. Trundle, what's her name?
Madame Blanc.
No, Trunchable. Mrs. Trunchable.
Mrs. Trunchable, yeah. Okay, all right, got you.
Says, your dog... It's bit this guy.
She really goes at him.
Yeah.
You're a blind man who's like, I ain't got a clue what's happened with my dog. She goes ape shit at him. She tells him to get out. She slings his coat and his stick like away. And they're really having a go at each other. He's like saying, yo, bitch. It's like, it's crazy, isn't it? This bit is crazy. This is like overreaction.
Kind of Lynchian. Like, In the way, sort of like hyper real drama. It's weird.
Yo, bitch! That's my favorite bit.
So Daniel takes his time. This is kind of Lynchian, the way he kind of slowly, what's the word? Like,
bumbles out.
Bumbles across the floor. It takes ages to get there. And then,
he takes ages to get there. She gives him a.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does, they charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Chuv, get out of it, you blind bastard. Fuck you. That's pretty much what it is.
I'm over here.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so it cuts to a little bit later on. I think we may be skipping a bit here, I don't know. But okay, so just to end Daniel's story, he's walking across the giant historical courtyard thing. It looks kind of lovely, but at night time, a bit freaky. Goblin are doing a live outdoor gig again on the roof of the building.
Yeah.
It's like he's playing that music. It's weird because you don't ever see anything in this bit. But it just, like, from the camera angles, kind of makes you feel like there's something flying around or there's something happening.
Yeah, yeah, there's a few, like, shots that, like, you think are the point of view of something.
Yeah.
It's, like, sort of swooping down from the top of, like...
Yeah. And then the dog just attacks him. Bites him.
Yeah, the dog just goes mental, goes straight for his neck.
There was some Gerald's Game style pulling threads of meat out of his neck.
Yeah, we did see this. So obviously Daniel is off screen at this point, but you do see the dog sort of ripping away meat. I mean, it's obviously just meat. I'm sure they didn't let him actually eat a man's face.
I don't know.
But it's still pretty horrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Two police officers turn up. Two police officers in white ponchos
and chefs, part-time chefs, full-time cops,
part-time chefs,
sous cops,
full-time cops.
Yeah, yeah. They they turn up and the dog trots off to bite his next peeping Tom.
I think what's
actually happening here is the dog actually attacks peeping Tom's, and I think Daniel can actually see. He's just got those blind glasses on. And he's been perving on all these ballet dancers.
Those blind glasses. he walks into the shower area and then he go, Oh my God, we're naked. Oh, don't worry, it's Daniel. It's Daniel. He's blind as a bat. And he's like, yes, blind as a bat. I am blind as a bat. Nice tits. What?
Okay. So what else happened? So I think we get the next bit, I think, is that Sarah's crazy scene. Is that the next bit?
Susie and Sarah go for some sort of swim, don't they? They go for a swim somewhere. Pretty good shots in this where we see them from above, sort of like just floating. And this is when Susie kind of recalls that when she arrived and she saw Pat, who obviously got murdered, she says she saw her mumbling Iris in secret when they crossed paths.
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing to remember. I don't think you remember anything like that.
I think you'd be thinking, I remember that time I was super stressed and I turned up and school wouldn't even let me in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all you'd remember. You wouldn't go, what was she mumbling? Iris and secret? Yeah. Well, that's weird.
Just saying shit, forget about it.
I'll commit that to memory. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, but now we do kind of get the bit where Sarah meets a grisly end.
Yeah, so for some reason they're doing some investigatory work. And then Susie, because she's eating the food and drinking the box wine, it's not settling well in her stomach. She becomes super drowsy, passes out, and then Sarah... And then like a light comes on outside of Susie's room, and Sarah runs away.
Yeah, I don't know what she thinks that light represents.
Yeah.
Or if it's like something when you're a kid and you're like up and around in the house when you're not supposed to be.
I think it's the goblin music.
And then suddenly you see the landing light come on. You're like,
yeah.
Fucking hell!
Yeah.
Then you quickly get back into your bed.
So she runs so this scene's kind of mental. So she runs around the corridors in the house. She gets chased by something in the shadows.
So she gets chased by a guy. Like a hooded, cloaked figure. Well, someone in a black leotard. I don't know.
Yeah.
But this person like chases her, and she managed to like lock herself in a room.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But then it's really weird because she locks herself in a room, and then like a weird sort of like what clear
butter knife.
A weird butter knife comes in, and if this person is like a murderer slash, you know, evil force.
Yeah.
So. Like pathetically is trying to get the latch up on the door.
It works in the sense of like creepiness, that like little like tinkling sound of the lock sort of just edging over.
Still, it kind of felt like it was ruining the the tension for me. And then Sarah makes like a tower out of like a trunk and like some boxes, a Home Alone 2 style tower. If you remember where Marv makes a wonky tower to go up from the bottom.
It does
floor
feel like she's going through floor someone's home alone. Like she's a house invader. This is really
but
brutal.
The traps are absolutely brutal because when she climbs through a window to get away, I don't understand this because surely you just look down and see that there was a load of like, what is it, razor wire or something?
But the camera didn't pan down enough for us to see it.
But
like, I know what you mean. Like,
so she looks dead ahead and it goes, oh, there's a door there, I'll jump down. But there's a whole shitload of razor wire that she just gets.
Razor wire? Who left that there?
Who did leave that?
Why is there a door? Why is there a door in the ceiling? That leads to
house like, is fucked.
Someone should have put like they're putting the razor wire down. This is the razor wire room. This is where we keep the razor wire. But what if someone tries to get out? Like, what's that up there?
What if someone goes for the ceiling door?
They'll see it.
What they'll do is they'll look down before they jump into it because that's what anyone else would do.
Yeah.
Except Sarah, because she's running away from a man with a butter knife.
And this, like, I don't know how they feel. Like, if this probably wasn't real razor wire, I assume.
No. Well, I didn't even realize it was razor wire initially. I just thought it was like.
What did you think it was?
I don't know. I didn't think razor wire because it looked soft. It looked soft to the touch. It looked like the kind of stuff you'd. If you jumped into a big old pile of that like she did, it'd be fun, if anything.
You think? I don't know. It looked kind of like she was getting all tangled up in it and stuff, and you could tell.
That's because she was panicking.
Yeah. I did think. Go on.
Have you ever been to like what's it called? Like a free dog or a jump place where they've got like trampolines all over the place, and you can jump into like a big.
I've seen them, and I really want to go in one.
Yeah, I've been once to one of those. And you jump into all the big pit of foam.
Yeah.
And when you jump into the pit of foam, like you become absolutely helpless. If you can't touch the floor, like you become helpless. In those moments, I realized what it must feel like to die in quicksand.
Really? Did you have a panic attack in the middle? It's like kids screaming.
Growing up, I was always a bit wary of quicksand.
Yeah.
You saw it in films and you saw it in cartoons.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know, one day I'm going to come across some quicksand and get stuck. And it's in films like, what was it, Neverending Story? Well, it's not Quicksand, but like
Atreyu.
With Atreyu.
Yeah.
That really stayed with me for years. And when I jumped, when I jumped into that pit of foam, I was taken back to that terrible moment where I thought I was going to die.
Yeah.
And basically, you just can't move. You feel yourself sinking into it. You've got to kind of like find your footing and find the floor.
How many skeletons were in that foam pit?
I didn't see any skeletons.
People who never got out.
Just like there was a sword and shield for someone from hundreds of years ago, and like a dusty old skeleton.
Kept sinking down, and you kept like going like prehistoric, whatever age before prehistoric, caveman age.
Oil. find some oil. I struck oil at the bottom, but I couldn't get out, and I needed some help once or twice.
Yeah,
and my daughter just she's seven. She just could not get out at all. She couldn't move. She was just there.
I can't imagine that,
And I had to like reach over and pull her out because she's just helpless. And you feel your little face sinking down like
just the mouth like screaming out.
Help me.
Did you go all the way down and then like a hand like goes buries in and then pulls your hand out like that? The hero music plays. It is action movie music. Yeah, you should have gone down and just given the thumbs up. Like, go on without me.
Well, like Terminator 2.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, so basically, jumping into that razor wire, that's obviously why she got a little bit tangled up.
She should have calmed down, and she should have
calmed down. She panicked.
Yeah, she did panic. She panicotted. It's Italian, come on. She panicotted all the way to the door, got tangled up,
And what happened? Someone just
comes and, like, gets a butter knife across the throat.
Yeah, but there was a really weird close-up, which was like someone scoring some pork fat to make cracklings.
Yeah.
It was like a really weird close-up of a throat getting slit.
It might have been pork. That might have been added, filmed it, I don't know.
But, it did make me a little bit hungry for some pork crackling.
In some razor wire.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and then I think it was coming towards the end of the film. So Susie wakes up and everyone's like, yeah, Sarah had left this morning, wasn't happy. You've been demodulized. That's what he used to say in uni. If you didn't turn up, you'd get demodulized.
It sounds
like they're breaking your DNA apart with like a gun.
Yeah, it sounds like you've been turned into like just dust.
Yeah, I nearly got demodulized a couple of times.
Did you? And yep. You came back?
I got remodulized.
Oh, that's a different laser for that.
Yeah, it's just a setting on the gun.
Demodulized. Sometimes you accidentally demodulize people and you've got to go, oh, whoops, sorry.
Yeah.
Remodulized you now, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay. But it is agony. It's absolutely
agony. Yeah. Okay, so, and she's like, I don't know what's going on. Oh, yeah, so now we've got like the exposition scenes.
Yeah.
So this just kind of comes out now.
Just filling in the gaps, you know, because I mean, it was quite a confusing film. What else going on? And so Susie needed answers, so she goes to town and just finds the first two blokes she can find.
Oi!
What's happening at this ballet school? Well, yeah. I'll tell you.
I think they said they were like Sarah's mates, but or like she'd been talking to them or something. But one of them is Udo Kier, and he talks about the school used to be a school for witches originally. There's a big witch, and then at some point he tag teams out with like another professor.
Yep. Goes, then, look, I've told you all you can know now. Now I've got another professor who knows just as much as me.
Yeah.
But just different stuff.
Yeah. yeah. So, and the other professor's like, tells him about Helena Marcos, who's some bad voodoo witch. Not voodoo witch. Just bad witch.
Bad juju.
Bad juju witch.
Yeah.
She's a bad Jew. This is Germany. Okay, so
she's fine.
Yeah, bad juju witch, and I think they basically say if you take out the head of a coven, thing is we all know these terms now, but in this season's like gaggle of witches, they're called a coven, dear. He mansplains it. We've got two men, double mansplaining.
She gets double mansplained hard.
Yeah, and comes away with like a fresh set of ideas. So I think she's going to... Oh, yeah, so when she gets back and all the students have gone for some reason. They've gone to a theatre show, but they didn't invite her.
Yeah, that's proper rude. Annoying, isn't it? That is.
Yeah.
That's like they all asked me to go to town to watch that new movie, Made in Manhattan. And when I turned up, they're all there in town. That's Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I was just... give me a small man's wetsuit, please. Yeah, that's a good song.
A small man's wetsuit, please.
Yeah.
They didn't even... They didn't even like my profiteroles. They didn't even compliment the meal. Tangent.
Yeah. I got hurt feelings.
I got hurt feelings.
Bum, 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 bum. Okay.
That's basically what happens. Susie returns to the academy. They've all gone to the theatre to have a lovely time, and they've not even invited her. She's got hurt feelings.
So she says, I'm not even going to drink this box wine anymore. She says she doesn't drink that. She throws the food into the bin.
It was just Tizer. After all that,
Tizer gets attacked by a bat. So this
was mental. Yeah, this was insane.
So a bat flies in the window. This is like a good 5 minute long. This is like Ash versus Hand sort of scene. It goes on for quite a while. But and then she gets it under the. I don't know if you picked this up. So she gets it under the quilt and she picks up a chair and starts slamming it. It was the sound effect they used for her like crushing the bat was like a Mega Drive game like. Is that the same like effect over again?
Like an uppercut.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like the same exact same noise.
It's exactly the same sound from Suspiria, the game. The final boss is a bat. You've got to throw a towel on it and then crush it with a stool. Did you think that was a bit brutal? Did you think like if a bat got in, I just want to get the bat out. Also, I mean, it was a pretty hilarious bat. It had big teeth and
it reminded me of the bat from. Dracula, you know, the Universal Classics one.
Yeah. It was like a bat. It was a classic bat on a string, wasn't it?
Yeah.
There's no. She reacts in a weird way. If a bat gets right up in your face like that, right up in your grill.
It would freak me out. It nearly happened to me the other day. And it did freak me out.
What, a bat?
Yeah, well, me and Alaska went for a walk and it gets super dark around these like farm fields. Yeah. And then a bat just flew at us. Like, just there's quite a lot of bats around there. And like, one just flew. Right over my head, and I freaked the like fuck out. It's pitch black.
I always find. How did you know it was a bird? How did you know it was a bat, and not a bird? Because I always get confused like that.
It could have been either, to be honest. But like, I've been since then pretty sure it's a bat, and I've seen him like in a bit lighter. But at the time, I was like,
did it make a noise?
No,
did it say your name?
I pinched it and went. Actually, what actually happened was I freaked out, and for some reason I barked at it, and then me and Alaska ran away. So the logic at the time was like, I can't shout it in
human. Please recreate it. What did you do?
I don't know. I just woofed at it and then ran away.
That's not good enough for me. I want to.
And then we ran away. But the thing is, I didn't want to. My logic at the time, I freaked out. The logic at the time was, I don't want to like shout in human because Alaska won't understand.
And the bat definitely won't understand.
No, exactly. Yeah. So I had to bark at it, and then we ran away.
What if somebody saw you, though?
It was, no one was out there. Just me, Alaska, and the bats.
Barked at it.
Band name.
It was
a couple of barks, and then we sprinted away, and we laughed about it.
You barked, and yeah. Alaska spoke. It was a really weird...
Like I said, was that actually a bat?
And then you swap, bodies.
Yeah. It's a weird night.
In a Freaky Friday scenario.
And then this music started playing. Boom, boom, boom. Okay. So she kills the bats. And then she could have just, because she had it wrapped up in the quilt, she could have just picked the quilt up and...
So I thought she was going to do, but she just bludgeoned it.
Okay. Just a button. There's two buttons on that Mega Drive controller. Love. Could have another crouching kick. With the B. Okay. So I don't know what happened there. So she goes...
She kind of like hears noises.
So she recreates the footsteps based on where she heard the teachers going. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So she goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and she walks down the corridor, finds the footsteps, finds the room that they went in, sees the bad mouth in her. No one likes her.
So then she goes into an office first where there's all... painted walls with like weird flowers and shit and symbols and bollocks.
Right, yeah, yeah. Bollocks. Oh yeah. So and then this is the bit where she hears the, she remembers what the girl at the start of the film was saying: irises and flat blue flowers and stuff. And then she sort of turns a flower on the wall, and the door pops open.
Yeah, as it does. And then she walks in to find sort of all the head honchos, all the older women.
Can you believe that place. American bitch? That's what they're saying. They're like, fucking hate that American girl.
I keep thinking, what's she done?
I know. Like,
what has she done?
They're,
she turned up. If she anything, fainted. Like, she had a bit of dinner. That's pretty much it.
Is it because she has questioned a couple of times and said like, what happened to that girl? It's still a bit much. Like, she's gonna have questions. She's a human.
It's almost as much of a overreaction as. As Miss Trunchbull had to the blind man.
Yeah, yeah.
Your dog's bit my dog. You little fucking shithouse!
Yeah, bark at each other. Okay.
Bitch!
she goes into the secret door. He's there talking bad about her. This other guy with weird teeth walks towards her and she...
He's almost like Frankenstein /
Lurch.
Lurch. Okay, they're kind of the same person, Frankenstein and Lurch.
Yeah.
Jules. That's what I'm thinking. Jules from James Bond.
Jules Holland.
And, Jules Holland.
And then she sneaks away into the shadows and sees Sarah, her friend, there, bloodied up to hell. They've put stakes, metal stakes in her hands. They put like, did you see the needles in her eyes?
Yeah,
like
little pins in her eyes, Looked a bit Evil Dead, I think, the makeup on this.
Did, yeah, it really did. She sneaks away a little bit more, finds her way into this weird room, and she's hiding there. She knocks over this peacock sculpture, and the sound effect does not match what knocking over like a porcelain peacock sculpture would sound like. It makes like it makes like this weird digital sort of like, you know, you get like a keyboard, and then it makes, you're on the drum settings, and you get a drum kit sounds, and then towards like the top half of the keyboard, it starts just making really stupid random. Like duck, you know what it was? Box.
You know what it was? It was a Foley artist's first job.
Yeah. You press the wrong button.
Oh, what's this? What does that say? Like, yeah, that'll do. Quality.
Yeah. It's weird. It's a weird noise this peacock makes. And the bowling balls fall on the floor. They make some weird noises.
If people are listening to this, they haven't seen the film. It sounds insane. But yeah, bowling balls.
It's insane, yeah.
It's a nice little shot though, as the balls roll towards like a bed where there's a creepy
thing. Spooky. there's like a the same sort of silhouette as what they saw earlier with a woman with a CPAP machine on the other side, snoring. She opens it and there's no one there.
She's got a horrible voice.
Yeah. We'll got some trivia on that. But it's not a bad impression. It's like a weird like gremlin voice, like what I imagine what you imagine a witch to sound like, I think, like a cackling
pretty
sort
nasty.
Of thing. Yeah.
And she looks a bit like the woman in the bathtub from The Shining.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a bit yuck.
Yeah. So she disappears and then she's like, what form should I attack you in? I think what we're supposed to think is she's been the one that's killed all the people so far in different like guises and forms.
It's like what's her name in Ghostbusters? Choose what form I take.
Yeah.
You think about it, you think, oh, best mate.
The first thing that popped in my head is Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And
just pop right in there.
I actually used to think that film was super scary. You know the bit with the dogs, the hell dogs?
Oh yeah, terrifying.
Yeah.
There's so much terrifying.
Okay,
stuff.
Who brought a dog?
It's horrible.
Yeah.
When it bursts through the door. Hate it.
Yeah. Poor Rick Moranis running away. That's harsh. And he's running away and he goes to the window and he's knocking on the window at a restaurant and
no one
cares.
Else can see it.
No one gives a shit. Yeah.
Rest in peace, Rick Moranis. Oh no, he's still alive. Sorry.
Still alive.
I'm joking.
Just retired. Weirdly, like he's so good and he's sort of retired.
Had enough. Didn't like the lifestyle.
Yeah. Okay, so she chooses the form of Sarah's dead body. She comes towards her, and then very cleverly, Susie sees the outline of Helena the Witch.
It's like an outline, Tippex outline of the witch led down.
Gets a peacock claw. No, peacock needle.
Yep.
Fell off the statue. Stabs her right in the throat. That's it. That's all. You know when you fight the big bad boss on a Mega Drive game? It's usually about just knowing what tool to use. It's like on Final Fantasy VII. You know, you're fighting the undead guy. If you use potions on him, it kills him. Like, you just
I never finished that game, mate.
Oh, Jesus. Good game.
I don't have the patience for that. How many discs did I have? I had the patience for Metal Gear Solid, which was two discs. That's as much patience as I had. Three discs.
Which one was two discs?
The first one. Well, the 1996.
Oh, yeah. 1997. Yeah, of course, yeah. Forgot about two discs.
Yeah. After you killed Sniper Wolf, you had to put disc two in.
That was a good battle on the Sniper Wolf one.
Yeah, totes of mosh.
I'm thinking of the first one. Is it the second one? Where you get the... She's out in the snow.
Yeah, she's quite far. She's on the snow plane.
Yeah.
The first one is in the really narrow thing when you've got to go all the way back and get the sniper rifle.
Such a good game, yeah. Mel gets shot or something.
She gets shot and then you go off for like an hour and come back and she's still led there.
Yeah. That's such a game. I need to play that again. Okay, so she kills Helena, runs away, everything starts like popping and exploding. Doors, I'll be honest, the way they made the doors like just pop open was kind of impressive. Yep. I don't know what they were doing. Like, it looked unreal, like it looked CGI the way the doors sort of crumpled in real time. Yep.
They had a man who could burp really loudly and he stood at the other side of the door and burped right at the door.
The Romanian,
so yeah, all the rest
guy.
Of the, all the rest of the witches start asphyxiating because their queen is dead. Is that what happens usually? This is the first time I've heard about that.
I don't know. I've never seen a witch, but
well, you missed out, mate.
Yeah. Yep. She runs away, and then the walls are crumbling, and she gets out, and then there's fire. The rooms are on fire and stuff, and then she walks away, and the credits roll, and that's how it. That's how Suspiria plays out.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Okay, so are you ready for some trivia?
Yep, I am ready.
I actually struggled to get some decent trivia for this one. I don't know why, just everything seemed a little bit too ominous. So the first question then. So director Dario Argento, on the set to get the actors and actresses super scared, he used to play the music through loudspeakers super loud.
Oh, what, the same music?
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
That is true, apparently. actually, I don't know if it was loudspeakers, but I imagine so. Said he played it loud anyway. Okay, number two. For the wide shots of the maggots falling from the ceiling, the crew would drop Smarties sucked dry of colour down onto the actresses from above.
What? Smarties sucked dry of colour.
Yeah.
That's a condorism. That's false.
Okay. Yeah, it was actually grains of rice. But I'm pretty sure a couple of them sucked a couple of Smarties dry.
They look like the type, didn't they?
Yeah.
They look like the type. Sucked a couple of Smarties dry. I just imagine that's the kind of thing you do when you're on your own and there's no one around for the whole day. What should I do? Get some Smarties in my gob.
I'm actually just a chomper. I don't even do one at a time. You know, there's people who just get a Smartie at a time. I get a handful. Oh,
that's nonsense. I ain't even got time for Smarties. I think I've grown out of them.
Masticate for a total of 2 seconds, then down the gullet.
Masticate. I swallow them whole like tablets. get it right down. Don't
that's exactly what Nurofen tastes like. If you don't chew a Nurofen, which you shouldn't do, really, there is no chocolate inside. But it just tastes like swallowing Smarties.
Yeah, they added the sugary shell.
And after about 10 of them, you get the sugar rush.
Why do they need to add that? Do you know what I mean? Like, you should never think of a pill as like a
tasty treat.
Sugary treat. Yeah. I mean, who's that catering towards?
Medicine should taste bad. It shouldn't be. It should feel bad. You know,
it's confusing when it does taste good, like kelp.
Kelp does taste great. Okay, number three. So Helena Marco's creepy creep gravel voice was performed by none other than Dario Argento himself. True or false?
I could believe that, mate. True.
False. It was actually provided by his his girlfriend at the time, Daria Nicolodi. Nickelodeon.
They both got the same first name.
So here's his name's Dario. Her name's Daria. Like that animated TV show, Daria. Is it called Daria?
No.
Like a mumblecore.
That's annoying, isn't it?
Yeah. Daria. No, not you.
No, no, Dario. Daria. Yeah.
Dario.
Dario. People like you if you had a Luca. Luca?
Well, Luke if I'm ever in Hungary or like anywhere in Europe, they don't have Luke as a name. It's always Luca.
Yeah.
So I get called Luca. Yeah.
That's not your name.
A good Luca is what they call me.
They call you what?
A good Luca.
You're such a good Luca, mate. What you got in your mouth there? Smarties again.
Yeah.
Get them out.
Okay, so number four. The film Suspiria is based on Thomas De Quincey's 1845 essay, Suspiria de Profundis.
That's got to be true, isn't it?
It is true. It's called. It translates as "Sighs from the Depths."
Do you know what I'd really like to base a film on? This 1845 essay that I've just found. I mean, it's going to be a great film. It's going to be a great movie. People are going to love it. Hollywood hit.
I've not read it. It's just got a cool name, Suspiria. You know what I mean? Sighs. Yeah, it sounds cool.
whatever.
So, Sighs from the Depths. That sounds like the noise the toilet makes like after you've flushed it, and your toilet goes. Huh.
Your toilet goes, oh, thank God that's over.
Yeah. Okay, so number five. You may have spoiled this one a little bit. An upcoming remake by director Luca Guadagnino, starring Dakota Johnson, Chloe Grace Moretz, and Tilda Swinton, and Anton Deck, with Harper returning in secondary role, set to release in 2017. Approximately 40 years after the original was made. True or false?
Can you confirm what roles Anton Deck are playing?
Susie.
No.
And Sarah.
It's false. Well, the Anton Deck bit is you're trying to have me play me for a fool.
Try to just sneak it in there. Try to sneak it in like a sucked dry Smarties in a non-sucked dry packet of Smarties.
I've got a bit of trivia for you.
Imagine someone who did that. Like, just sucked the Smartie dry, put it back in the packet. Gross. I bet that Peeping Tom does that.
For the remake, the music is going to be done by Tom York. True or false?
That would be. I don't know if the film. I can imagine if they do a remake of this film.
If they do, it's finished filming. They finished filming it in March 2017.
Okay.
According to Wiki.
I don't know if it's necessary to have this film remade, but if they do their own thing with it and make it kind of crazy and unique, I think it could be good. Tom York would be a good guy to do it, so I hope it's true.
So is that true or false? What's your answer?
True.
Damn, how this game works, mate.
True.
It's true. According to Wikipedia and Tom York himself, what I asked earlier.
And he's doing the music to Blue Planet, whatever it's called. David Attenborough's thing.
He's whoring himself out left, right, and centre, isn't he?
Suspiria, Blue Planet, Radiohead, Atoms of Peace.
This is another tangent. Have you seen there's recently Fox News had a go at Radiohead. Have you seen this?
Had a go at him.
There was some weird thing where they're talking about like the Hall of Fame, some Hall of Fame, I don't really know what.
Yeah.
And they're talking about who's going to go in Hall of Fame. And some woman goes on a really hate-filled rant about Radiohead and says, like, it's for losers.
Radiohead, I think, are one of our greatest bands we've ever had. Like,
Agreed. Yeah. I would be willing to go as far as to say they're the greatest British band.
Really? Beatles?
Of all
better
time.
Beatles. Better than Beatles?
I've got no time for the Beatles, mate.
Okay.
Never really been there with that.
Bit over the cliff.
Oh no. I'm not like that with music.
Alright, yeah. Interesting.
I listen to loads of music from the Roaring Twenties.
Bit of Robert Johnson.
Yep.
John Lee Hooker.
Yeah. All of them. The greats.
Williams. Yeah. Louisiana Woman, Mississippi Man. Okay, so what the hell was I about to tell you? Well, I've completely lost it now.
Oh.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, you need to grade the film. Shall I guess what grade you're going to give it, and then you guess what grade I'm going to give it?
But then what if I change it based on your guess?
It's kind of confusing.
Okay.
Well, get a grade in your head. Get a grade in your head. I've got mine written down.
Okay.
Have you got your grade in your head?
I got it in my head.
So I'm going to guess what you've got written down in your head. Yeah. I'm going to say you're going to give it a B-.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking. Luke, you know me better than I know myself.
Yeah.
And I know myself pretty well.
I know you better than I know sucked dry Smarties. Now you do.
I was thinking B-. So I think I gave The Omen a B.
Yeah.
And I think I enjoyed this. I enjoyed this in a similar manner. But I did. My interest waned in places, I think, with this film.
Okay.
There were some bits that were going on where I was just like, come on.
Come on.
But when the man was trying to get in the door with a butter knife, I was like, come on.
See, I quite liked it. But okay, so you I like butter knife horror.
Yeah, I'm gonna say B-, which means you're gonna say B+.
I was actually gonna say A-.
Fucking hell, mate.
Yeah. Yeah. But that might change. I do feel like I want to watch it again. Just to like cement. I think it's a clip. I did kind of, because I watched this. I was super tired when I watched this. So I could have been not in the right mind to, and I could have been in the best mind to experience this. You know, when you're kind of like not quite lucid.
Yeah. Did you check how long was left at any point?
Yeah. Because I was traveling somewhere and needed to know how long. If I'm going to be able to see it all in time.
So you watched it on the move. Interesting.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So I'm going to give A-. I'm going to watch it again, and I may have to readjust it to A+, potentially. No, I don't think it'll be an A+. It'll either be a B+ or an A-.
Mate, bloody mind up, mate.
So next episode.
Well, next episode could be The Ritual. Potentially. If you see it and we decide we want to do an episode.
Or
just keeping listeners on their toes here.
Yeah. Or it could be, so Dan in the Horror Hangout Facebook group said we should do some sort of 10 Halloween film recommendations.
That's true.
That'd be quite a cool idea.
So would that be next week?
It would have to be, I think. Or the week after, potentially.
Yeah, so next week would be the 25th?
Yeah. That's a good time, so people can get the recommendations.
That is a good time. However, the week after would be the 1st of November, so we could potentially release an episode on Halloween, a special episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. We decide what that's going to be, but if we release an episode of Horror Hangout on Halloween, we're ahead of the curve, mate.
So the next episode could either be an episode on The Ritual. Halloween film recommendation episode, or the next on the list, which is number 22, Evil Without a Face, which has one of the same actresses in this film. Suspiria is in this.
Is that what's next?
Is it not? Have I got that wrong? I think it is.
I don't know. I mean, have you got it in front of you? I don't know. Yeah, well, possibly. Who knows? But basically, who knows what you're going to experience next week? It could be anything. We could be
pretty sure it's eyes without a face, but
it might just be an episode of Luke completely on his own.
It's happened.
It is eyes without a face. 1960 eyes without a face.
Yeah.
And then we got some absolute stone cold classics coming up.
Let's just have a quick rundown before we go. What's coming up? So eyes without a face. Number 21 got The Fog. John Carpenter's The Fog. Number 20, Psycho. I've only seen that once a long time ago. 19, An American Werewolf in London, classic. 18, Ben's favourite, probably The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. 19, 20, to go along with his 1920 music listening habits.
The dream decade.
We've got The Ring 2, Carrie. I'm just rocking them out now. Rosemary's Baby.
Don't ruin the list. Don't ruin the list.
Okay,
don't
that's all you're suspense. Getting. That's all you're getting. You're getting a semi, not a full on. Okay. Okay, cool. So I think we're about done. This show is brought to you by Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com and grab a free book. Become a patron over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovac to Cameron for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners who enjoyed the show. Give us a rating. Cheers, thanks. And thanks to my co-host Ben for being a real horror dude. Also, thanks to Alaska, who I think needed the toilet but didn't interrupt the flow of the show. She stuck her head in there. But she didn't bark or, she didn't see any bats.
She just left a big puddle of piss behind you there.
It smells pretty bad in here right now. No, she's been good, actually. Yeah, not too bad.
Well done, Alaska. Well done.
Yeah. Cool. All right. It's been a long show.
It has indeed. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.